Morning. It's good to be with you today. As you can probably tell from the scripture reading, we're going to continue with our study this morning on the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to talk about worry. And as we mentioned last week about laying up treasures in heaven, this culture that we live in is a age of materialism, and the goal of many is to accumulate and store up all the wealth they possibly can during their lifetime. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has taught us not to accumulate treasures on earth, but to accumulate treasures in heaven. And that's because those are the treasures that will last and will satisfy long term. So Jesus moves on after that instruction and addresses a natural concern that we have, especially when you're not accumulating treasures on earth. You know, if I'm not storing up treasures to take care of myself, what's going to happen to me? What am I going to do? How am I going to be taken care of? And if we have anxiety about those things, the Lord is addressing these concerns. And one of the reasons people have anxiety and worry is because they don't believe God. They don't believe that God's going to take care of them. And He tells us that I will take care of you, and you must not worry. And worry says that I don't trust God. I don't believe that He cares for me, or He doesn't care enough for me, or He's going to take care of me. And then you take matters into your own hands because you don't feel like you have any choice. I've got to do something. I have to do something. I worry about what's going to happen to me or those that I love. So you kind of see how this works. People come along and try to provide solutions for us. And one of the songs that was popular years ago was the "Don't Worry, Be Happy." I never really liked that song that much. I thought it was a little cheesy, but people, when they heard that song, they wanted to worry anyway. And so that song didn't really work for a lot of folks. And worry is not combating things by just smiling and faking happiness. One of the things that you see from time to time is this: that keep calm, and you see this artwork, and maybe you don't know where it came from, but it was a motivational poster produced by the British government in 1939 in preparation for World War II. And so this was intended to raise the morale of the British public, because they were threatened with widely predicted, mass air attacks on major cities. And so just keep calm and carry on. And back around in 2000, somebody found some of these posters in an art shop somewhere. They had been stored away, and so somebody framed these and started reproducing them, and that's why you see this artwork so much today. But you see these all, it's always edited, keep calm and go to camp, or better yet, now panic and freak out. So you see this artwork a lot of times. It's modified, but the thing is people don't really want to keep calm or keep calm and play volleyball or something like that. Well, it's met with the response, I can't do that. I can't keep calm. I have anxiety. And so why is it that why do we fight anxiety and worry? Jesus certainly here has addressed accumulating possessions and serving money. It doesn't solve worry problems. Many have tried that, and it doesn't work. So how do we come to a kind of peace in our life that's free from anxiety and care, as Jesus describes it here? First of all, Jesus says in verse 25 is that life is more than just having stuff. Verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And so Jesus is saying it's very sad for you to boil your life down into things, and it's very materialistic. And it is funny how people will, you know, find their identity and their worth by what car they drive, how big their house is, you know, what brand name, you know, clothes that they wear. When I was growing up in Columbus, Georgia, there was a shoe store downtown, and, you know, kids were very particular about what shoes they'd wear. They'd want to have Adidas or Nike. But, you know, we didn't have enough money to have those, and so it would be, you know, Tracks or whatever it was that Kmart, you remember those, right, that Kmart was selling. And there was a shoe store downtown called Buddy's Discount Shoes. So if you had on shoes that were not name brand, everybody said, he's wearing Buddy's. And so that was an insult, you know, to those that didn't have, you know, the name brand. And JCPenney used to have the shirt. It was the Izod knockoff that had the fox on it instead of the alligator. And I wanted my mom to just buy one Izod shirt and put a piece of Velcro on it and, you know, move the alligator around, you know, just so I didn't have to have the fox on it. You know, so really preoccupied with what it is that's current and trendy and makes you look like you're something. So, you know, it's silly how we do care about those things. You know, you can get a Nissan Armada or you can buy an Infiniti that's exactly the same car except for the logo that's on it, but the Infiniti means more because it's been outfitted a little bit nicer. But it's really the same engine on the inside, but people like the Infiniti better. Why? Because it makes you look like you got money. So life is more than that. We should not be, you know, putting our self-worth on what kind of shoes we wear, whether or not we're wearing Buddies or Nikes, or whether we have an Izod shirt or JCPenney's the Fox. You know, life is more than the accumulation of these things. And we really, it's a vain and worthless pursuit when you're pursuing physical possessions. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, your life is more than this. It's more than the food that you eat. It's more than the things that you wear. Don't worry about these things. And so the question is, can you trust God? Can you trust God to give us food? And so this is one of the temptations that Jesus is tempted with in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan tells Jesus, who would obviously be hungry because he'd been fasting for 40 days, to turn these stones into bread. You know, if you're the Christ, do this. You know, show it. Prove it. And, of course, Jesus famously told him, man does not live by bread alone. And humans don't live on food alone, but they depend on God for their life and for their breath. And Jesus is reiterating that here. And it just goes and points to the fact that your Heavenly Father cares for you. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So the second way here that Jesus tells us to defeat worry is to know that your Father cares for you. And he uses the birds to illustrate this. Do birds worry? Well, they don't appear to be too worried. Do they store up treasures in barns and houses? No, that's not something that they do. So they do not accumulate, yet they are fed by God, by their Heavenly Father. So you see the emphasis here that's put here for us, your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is not like an earthly father. We've talked about that before. There's earthly fathers that don't fulfill their responsibilities. There's earthly fathers that don't, you know, provide for their own as they should. So in most normal situations, and what we would expect in the family relationship is that the father is a good provider and that there's trust that the children have in the father. But Jesus here, talking about the Heavenly Father, he's the one who is the perfect father. And he's the one that feeds the birds. How much more will your Heavenly Father care for you? The idea here is that you're more valuable than birds. Yes, you're more valuable than birds. See, and God cares for his creation. And by doing that and seeing that, that helps us develop trust. in God. It helps us to develop faith that God will also care for us. So if you believe that God is your Heavenly Father, then how do you exhibit that in your life? Well, you exhibit that by not worrying. You believe that He cares for you. A parent would not intentionally allow, a good parent would not intentionally allow a child to go hungry or to starve. Absolutely not. And God is saying, your Heavenly Father is going to provide these things. We as parents want to provide for our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father provide for us when we are dependent on Him and we put our lives in His hands? So your Heavenly Father cares for you. Third reason Jesus gives us for not worrying is that He says worry does not do anything. It does not help anything. In verse 27, it says, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" And of course, the answer is nobody can. Nobody by worrying is really going to accomplish anything. I'm sure I've told you before, but my father used to tell me that I crossed every bridge before I got to it because he said that I worried too much. And there's an old proverb, not in the Bible, but an old proverb that says worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And so, we've heard that, and that's funny. But the point is that there is no point. The point is that it's pointless. Even when you may have a legitimate concern or problem. Now, there may be things that you can do to eliminate that problem or to help that problem, but sitting around and wringing your hands and hoping that some solution will drop in your lap, it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make you feel any better. It just makes you feel worse. And so this mental struggle here that Jesus is addressing, he says it does not accomplish anything. Worry and anxiety doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the past. And people will worry about the past. They'll worry about things that have happened long ago, and they can't do anything about it. And certainly we understand that, but worrying also doesn't change the future. And it's particular to this context here. Jesus is telling them not to worry about things, not to worry about money, not to worry about possessions. So if you look again, back at verse 25, he says, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or your body, what you will wear." In regard to all those things, your worry is not going to do you any good. Why? Because your Father is going to provide that for you. He's going to clothe you. Verse 28 says, "And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even as Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And so the fourth weapon here that we're given to fight against worry is the knowledge that God will care for us. And Jesus tells us not to worry about the clothes that you wear. And he uses the flowers of the field as an example. Just like the birds that don't sow or reap, the flowers, don't work. They're not making their own clothes. They're beautiful, and they serve the purpose. And God has given us that beauty. He also refers to the grass that's very short lived, and he's taking care of that as well. And so if he's taking care of the flowers, he's taking care of the grass, how much will he clothe us, who are of much more value than those things? We're destined for eternal life with him. And so once again, Jesus is asking, if you believe that God will take care of you, you shouldn't worry. Do you believe that God will take care of you? But he really gets at the crux of the problem here in verse 30 when he says, "Oh, you a little faith." So what he's saying is that if you're a worrier, then you don't have enough faith. Worrying about these things shows that we do not have proper faith in God. Your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you, so you don't have to worry. And so people will live their lives agonizing over things and struggling over things that they shouldn't. And certainly, one of the main points here is the struggle for possessions, the struggle for material things, and you agonize and strive because you have little faith and little confidence in God that He's going to take care of you. He also says if you do this, you're not acting like a child of His. You're acting like the rest of the world. Verse 31 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So this fifth exhortation for fighting worry, he says, don't worry about these things, because these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. And of course, what they think about the Gentiles is that they're pagan, that they're worldly, that they have no interest in God, and that if you want to act like them, if you show that you have no confidence in God and you worry all the time, you're just like the person in the world that doesn't have God, that doesn't seek after God. So, all through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has declared that His people will think differently. They will act differently. Because over and over He says, you've heard it said, but I say to you this. And so there's a higher standard for you. And you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And you need to have an impact on others. And you need to be different. You need to shine as light. And what did He say? If there was no light or there was no salt, then it's good for nothing, or you were good for nothing. So when we worry about money and food and clothing, our bodies, we look just like the world, who's all worried about those things too, that who lives with no belief in the Creator, who lives with no recognition that God is there and cares for them. So if you worry like everyone else in the world, how does that reflect upon God? Really reflects more on you than it does on God, because God's there. You're just not, you are not relying on Him. How does it show the world your faith? Are you being salt? Are you being light? Well, you're acting just like the world if you worry all the time. He also says that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So this sixth point here that Jesus makes is for us to know that God knows what we need. He knows how to sustain your life. And don't make the mistake of thinking that God doesn't understand or care or know about your circumstance. He knows what you need. And you are to live your life depending on Him. So He's saying this is a test of faith. Are you going to live according to this or not? God knows what I need, and I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Verse 33 tells us that there's a higher ambition, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So there's a higher ambition here, that first we are to seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's where all your energy, most of your energy, should be expended. And this is how we store up treasures in heaven, is by having this higher ambition that we're going to seek the kingdom of God first. It's God alone that deserves our full ambition. It's God alone that deserves our full attention and our concern. Not wealth and not possessions and all these things that Jesus lists here. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God above all else? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6 says, we destroy arguments and lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so seeking the kingdom of God here is described as taking every thought, every idea, every desire, all those things, and making them obey Christ. So whatever stands against God in our hearts, whatever's taking the place of God in our hearts, you know, that's a war. Paul is saying you've got to have the faith to win that every thought needs to be taken captive to obey Christ, so that Christ wins out in your heart. And so that's a daily battle in our submission. Also, Jesus says not just to seek the kingdom of God, but also to seek his righteousness. We're supposed to seek righteous lives. We're supposed to want to be transformed, as Paul described in Romans 12. We're to live changed lives. And seeking God, you know, shows a different way of living. It shows a different way of thinking. Not like what he describes as the way the Gentiles live, pursuing worldly things, but pursuing spiritual things, pursuing the things that show that we have a purpose in our life that is to desire God. So decisions are not made around, you know, mundane things such as food and clothing and money. You know, these things are not, you know, the focus of our life, or shouldn't be. And he says the result of this kind of thinking will be that all these things will be added to you. In other words, all these things are going to take care of themselves. So what you eat, what you wear, what you drink, it's all going to be added to you if you pursue God and pursue that foremost. My mother and father, you know, many times we didn't realize how stringent things were as far as the budget was and how much money we didn't have. I wasn't really aware of that, or how, you know, we struggled. But, you know, my father told me that every time there was a situation where how are we going to pay this bill, there'd be something that happened where they would, you know, somebody would send them something, or, you know, they would get a windfall of some kind. Every time that there was a need, it was taken care of. And I truly believe that was God's providence, that he was doing exactly what he said here. That my mother and father were putting their trust in God, and God was providing for them. And you've probably seen that in your own lives, if you have that kind of trust in God. In the Old Testament, you know, this is very similar here, what Jesus is saying to these people in his day, what was said in the Old Testament. The people were instructed to pursue God. They were instructed to pursue his righteousness, and when they did that, you know, God provided for them over and over. They didn't have to worry about food and famine. They didn't always get the food they wanted, but they got food, and God provided to them what they need. In fact, that's what, you know, the purpose of manna was, is God's providing that. And so they didn't have to worry about wars. They didn't have to worry about nations pursuing them or attacking them when they were being faithful. They didn't have to fear and worry. But when they chose not to trust God, and they lose God's blessing because of their lack of faith, then, you know, things went south. And so we don't need to make that mistake that Israel did and not believe in the promise of God, who says he'll take care of us. So what we can do is we can do what Jesus said here in verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So let tomorrow be tomorrow. Don't be anxious about it. It's not today. So you have what you need for today. Tomorrow, we'll worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble. Deal with today. Live today. Take what God has given you today. And the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, you know, in instruction on this, you know, if you go through the whole book of Ecclesiastes, there's all kinds of instruction about what is the purpose of our life. And it's not about seeking. It's not about devouring it. It's not about, you know, laying up treasures on earth. It's remembering your Creator. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. And so we need to keep these things in mind that Jesus tells us here. I know it's very difficult when you have many things in your life that you're concerned about, to not worry. But Jesus tells us here that God's going to take care of us, and we need to put our faith and our hope and our trust in Him for today and whatever comes next, and that God is our Father. He's a good Father. He cares for His children, and we shouldn't forget the love that He has for us. We need to keep that knowledge close to us, because Jesus said that can take care of all these things that you're concerned about. So another more good thoughts from the Sermon on the Mount that really affect us in the way that we live, in the way that we depend on our Heavenly Father. Hope this be useful to you and an encouragement to you. If we can help you in any way today to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.